This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening and welcome to Well, Well, Well with Jason and Tex with you tonight from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. And you have just listened to Let's Get It Started by Paris Wells, a little local Melbourne girl. But of course, before we go any further, a big thank you to Been There, Done That for another great show. And even more importantly, Tex, how are you tonight?
Jason, I'm really well.
Very, very good.
Bit of a steamy day here in old Melbourne town and surrounds.
It was disgusting.
I wore shorts, especially.
I enjoy the weather like this because it gives me an opportunity to check out your pins.
Thank you, darling. How are you?
I'm good, aside from whinging about the weather when I arrived at work today, but I don't deal well with...
You didn't wear shorts.
That is correct.
And I did predict 31, that's why I wore shorts.
It was terribly
steamy.
Enough about the weather. About the weather.
Now, Jason, I've got an important question for you. It's a question we ask every week. What the heck's on the show this week?
Well, tonight we will be listening into a conversation that we had with Nathan and Dr. Irina Zablotska from the National Center in HIV Epidemiology and Clinical Research about one of their latest research projects. And, of course, we'll also be filling people in about the latest news about HIV and other health issues, and then talking about some events happening in and around the community.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Good eye.
Bumper show, as always.
As always.
But, of course, we love to hear from the listener. Tex, how can they get a hold of us?
Well, tonight you've got two options. Both of those options come directly to us on a screen in the studio. So if you've got your fingers hovering above a keyboard, you could send us an email. Quite simply, all you need to do is send us an email, onair@joy.org.au, or you could send us an SMS, 0427-JOY-949, although if you've got one of those iPhones, not an iPod, an iPhone, it's 0427-569-949.
It's actually the BlackBerry doesn't have the...
Oh, is it BlackBerry? Well, Jilly never corrects me when I say iPhone. BlackBerry.
That's okay. All right. We assume it's technology-based, so you know you struggle.
Thank you.
But you're becoming a whiz with your new mobile phone, which is very exciting to see.
Indeed. In fact, you showed me how to make it go silent. And I actually experimented with my personal phone, apart from the work phone. Same thing. Hey. Press the hash key, goes silent. Look amazing.
Amazing.
Technology.
Absolutely amazing.
I was blown away.
Rightly so, Tex. It is that time of the show where we like to switch gears, as you do, and get straight into the news.
Yep.
And there's been a bit of talk lately, and even more recently in today's issue of Southern Star, about some new research where scientists here in Melbourne announced last week that they'd successfully cleared an HIV-like infection from mice by boosting the animal's immune response with... a chemical called interleukin-7, which is kind of a man-made hormone. The researchers said that the breakthrough finding relates to the use of the body's immune system to fight back at viruses rather than the approach that current antiretroviral drugs take to clearing the body of the HIV infection. So as they point out, one of the issues with current antiretroviral therapies is that they're working quite well at controlling the virus's replication, but they don't do so well at clearing the body of any latent or dormant infected immune cells. Whereas this approach seems to do quite well.
Well, it's worked on mice, and they have stressed that it's a HIV-like virus, so it's not HIV. But it's very similar to HIV, and working with mice, as you know, in laboratories they work with all sorts of animals, but this particular procedure has worked with mice. They do go on to say that, you know, they're looking, you know, they've been looking for a cure for HIV since the very first time HIV appeared. And I remember when I joined the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre as a volunteer about 22 years ago. I know, it makes me sound very old. I am. They talked at that time when they did the introductory sessions of welcome aboard new volunteers, there will be a cure for HIV in 10 years. I used to do the orientation sessions with new volunteers once I joined the organisation, and we used to say to people, there should be a cure within 10 years. The researchers are saying there might be a HIV cure, but it's more than likely to be at least 10 years away. So that 10-year has been a recurrent theme, if you like, in cure. But this is really good news. They're really excited. And the National Association of People Living with HIV/AIDS are quite excited as well.
Yes. Well, but as they do point out, the work has been focused in mice, not in humans. And it has been working with a virus that's like HIV and not actually HIV. So it's obviously encouraging research, but they're a bit cautious, I think, as well.
Yeah, look, they're saying it's a working concept. They're saying that, it may work, but it will need to lead to human trials. And human trials, as they're saying, are at least 10 years ago.
Yeah. 10 years to go.
That's right.
But again, there's lots of new areas of research aside from the vaccine sector, looking at the immune response, but also at eradicating those latent or dormant infected immune cells. So lots of areas with potential for a cure. So we'll continue to follow these as any progress continues.
Oh, indeed. And as we have already talked about this on Joy on Well, Well, Well a few weeks ago, this is a new part of the story. Mm-hmm. It's more fleshed out. So if people want to have a look at it, grab a copy of Southern Star.
And what's also kind of a good little bit of good news from that is that it's a bit of local work that's being done.
Yes, at the Walter and Eliza Hall Institute, which is quite sensational because it's happening here. So it's very much alive for us here in Melbourne.
Indeed. Yeah. But not so local, but just only across the ditch. There's a bit of news coming from gaynz.com about a dodgy New Zealand firm selling quote-unquote valueless do-it-yourself HIV test kits. And they're being accused of a desperate attempt to make money.
By preying on vulnerable people.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Head Start Testing, which appears to be the same Auckland-based firm, which in the late 2009 withdrew its Easy Trust HIV test kits for sale after a chorus of condemnation from HIV and AIDS professional, is promoting Be Clear HIV home test kits. They recently released promotional material sent to prospective retailers and accompanying its order form. They stated that the devices are New Zealand MedSafe approved, and goes on to say that the kits are easy to use and give you accurate results in less than 10 minutes.
Yeah, and of course, the New Zealand AIDS Foundation have said that they see no value in these tests, and they consider them to be a desperate attempt to make money, which whenever there's a shonky deal out and about, why are they doing it? They're doing it. They prey on people who are desperate for news or desperate for a test. And indeed, what are they doing? They really want to start making money. In fact, the New Zealand AIDS Foundation has strongly recommended that retailers do not stock the testing kits. However, this is something which people are likely to see online.
And that's exactly why I think it's important to raise now, because in a world where we can buy everything online.
Yep.
I think it's important to raise the issues and concerns about home-based testing, especially in the context of, as the Director of Positive Health Services at the New Zealand AIDS Foundation points out, just focusing on the fact that you get a result in 10 minutes doesn't exactly address the fact that your body may not have actually produced antibodies to be detected by the test, maybe within the 3-month window period. And it's important that all of that information be provided, but also that you get the necessary support should the test come back positive. So lots of important issues there, but hopefully that the New Zealand Ministry of Health will be getting onto that.
Yeah, and hopefully closing down the company, or if not closing down the company, then at least removing the kit from sale. Just if people are looking online and they see this come up, it's the graphic has an image of the red ribbon, The International Red Ribbon, and underneath it says Be Clear, which is just the letter B dash clear HIV test kits. They go on about in 10 minutes you can know, and it's a rapid home test kit. But as we're saying, or as the New Zealand AIDS Foundation is saying, it's just an attempt to make money. Valueless.
In the meantime, we've actually received a message in about the earlier HIV cure story. Uh-huh. And Paul has asked whether we think that when they do find a cure, that people will just go back to barebacking because they know that it's curable. I think it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to look down the line when we've got something, whether it's a vaccine or a cure. Uh-huh. It depends on what risks present themselves with that cure. How easy it is for treatment. Is it something that's as simple as a couple of injections to cure oneself of HIV, or is it a fairly invasive and difficult treatment to go through?
Of course,
it's kind of hard to talk about hypotheticals. But if it's curable, that's the good news to
focus
on.
It is very difficult to talk about hypotheticals because if you think of when antiretrovirals came out, people do say, or there are people who say, oh, people have unsafe sex because they know if they get HIV, they just have to take a pill.
Yep.
And of course, we know it's not as easy as that because, of course, of the side effects which affect people living with HIV. So at all times, we give the simple message, condom and lube. And of course, there are now latex-free condoms and oil-based lubes, which you can use with the latex-free condoms. But we usually just recommend that people use water-based lubricant with whatever sort of condom they're using.
But I think it's a valid question.
It is a valid question. It'll be interesting.
Just as when treatments came into effect, the same kinds of issues were raised, I think.
Yep.
But until we have a better idea of what that cure or what that vaccine will look like, it's really hard to contemplate.
And it's more than likely going to be at least 10 years away.
Yeah. Hey, if it's sooner, even
better. That'd be fantastic.
Earlier this week, we did catch up with Nathan Neeson and Dr. Irina Zablotska from the National Center in HIV Epidemiology and Clinical Research. More commonly just referred to as the center, the National Center.
Yep.
For obvious reasons. About their new research project called the Connect Study. And this is what we had a chance to hear from them. Now, maybe starting with you, Irina, can you tell us a bit about your role at the National Center?
I'm a senior lecturer in the National Center in HIV Epidemiology and Clinical Research, working in the HIV Epidemiology and Prevention Program.
Fantastic. And that's part of the University of New South Wales, yeah?
Yes.
Fantastic. And Nathan, what's your involvement with the study?
So I'm the data collection officer for the Melbourne portion of the Connect study. So I recruit people into the study and manage that, go out and interview with the iPad and stuff like that at the Victorian AIDS Council.
Now, we've had individuals from the National Centre on several times on Well, but I think you're here to talk to us about a particular study, one of your latest research projects called the Connect study. Irina, could you give us a bit of a quick overview of what that study is about?
Probably I'll start with explaining the name of the study. CONNECT stands for the Contemporary Norms in Communities and Networks. The study was designed because we know that in Australia more than 80% of HIV diagnoses come from men who have sex with other men, and most of the infections are transmitted through unprotected sexual contact. Through the years of HIV epidemic, gay community organizations have done a substantial amount of work to increase the awareness of gay men on how HIV is transmitted and how to reduce the risk. And we have done an extensive research into sexual practices and risk reduction in Australia as well. However, we do know very little about how gay men really understand the risk. And we know little about the community norms about regarding risk reduction. For example, norms regarding condom use, norms about HIV disclosure, different techniques into how reduce the probability of getting infected. What we would like to learn is the social norms. norms play an important role in shaping sexual practices. But to learn about these norms, you would have to have a different approach from all other research that we have done previously. You'd want to explore different networks and see how these networks shape the understanding of practices and understanding of negotiation of risk reduction.
So it's almost kind of seeing community as a group of little sub-communities or sub-networks within those to see how the social norms differ between them.
Right. And that's what we would like to learn, how different groups within gay community may differ and how norms are understood in those different groups and networks. Uh-huh. Well, now, how do you recruit people from different groups and networks? You would probably want to have a new approach in recruitment. And we do imply a very innovative approach in this study into recruiting people into the study.
Okay.
Which is called respondent-driven sampling, where we ask men to participate in the study, provide some information through a questionnaire, and also refer their friends from their personal networks into the study. And then these friends are asked to do the same.
So it's kind of almost like a snowballing effect that happens.
Exactly. And this snowballing will allow us to recruit men from different groups and then compare how men in those different groups understand practices, negotiation of risk and risk reduction, norms regarding different practices. So it's a very innovative approach. It hasn't been used in Australia before. Although it is quite often used in other countries around the world. This approach is also very innovative from the perspective that it allows participants from the networks to come to the study but not being identified. Mm-hmm. So we will understand about the networks without knowing men who were recruited from these networks. Well, the methodology is new, and we, of course, rely on the participation of men in the study, not only providing information through the questionnaires, but also referring their friends into the study and encouraging friends to come to the study to provide information. So this will be very important for us to recruit men and obtain this information about social norms. If we are able to collect this information, this is quite new knowledge for us. It will allow the gay community organizations to better understand different networks and groups within the community and to better serve these groups. Provide information, encourage health promotion and risk reduction for HIV and STI.
Irina, what benefits do you think the project is going to have for the community, the community here in Melbourne, in Sydney and elsewhere?
Well, probably most of all, the community organizations and the community itself will understand better the structure of the community, how men interact within the different networks and groups within the community, which services are most important to different groups within the community and how to improve services. And of course, men in the community will learn more about how to understand risk, how to assess risk, how to reduce risk, being able to identify where they are within the networks and what the risks within those networks are.
Now, I might switch gears a bit and go over to you, Nathan. As Irina said, the recruitment is quite innovative and unique in this research project. So how have you been going about that process in terms of finding, I guess, the first batch of people to then find more people?
Okay, so we actually identified a group of people based on the Melbourne Gay Periodic Survey. So we've identified 10 to 15 seeds for one list and 10 to 15 on a second list. I haven't yet exhausted the first list as yet because I've got still 10 at the moment as current seeds. It's been taken up quite well within the community so far.
Nathan, when you say seeds, what do you mean by you found this seed, you found that seed? What does the word seed mean in this instance?
Sure. A seed is a... So I've identified groups of organisations that have... other people have identified within their community that's had a lot of people identify them within the Melbourne Gay Periodic Survey. So from that, from the people that I know and other people that I don't know, I've been able to find people that are associated with those organisations, say from Joy Melbourne or from Also, and other ones as well that I may not know people from there, but I've been able to identify.
Okay.
Now, who are you looking to have participate? Is there any particular kind of qualifications or... types of guys to be involved in the study?
Not in particular. We're looking for people that are open to wanting to be part of the study, of course. People that are well connected within the study, or sorry, within their community, know a fair amount of people that they would feel comfortable with giving those coupons out to people, and that they would know that would actually come back to be part of the study. So it's almost like an altruistic effect, so to speak.
Now, if someone was interested in participating, do they need to kind of, I guess, wait and hope that one of their friends or peers passes along a coupon to them or talks to them about having been involved? Or can they become, I guess, one of the new seeds?
Ideally, we'd be looking for people to be referred into the study,
yep,
because we haven't exhausted those two lists as yet.
Yep.
However, they can register their interest online at connectstudy.net. So that's connectstudy.net. And that information will come to me. And if they are part of those particular organisations that we would like to get into, then we would start the interview process off.
Nathan, maybe for the sake of the listener, could you tell us a bit more about the interview process? Because I think a lot of people might be a bit weary of
sure.
going and sitting down with a complete stranger, I guess, and
indeed,
going through that
indeed.
Process.
Sure. So I will... So once we've identified the seed, which is the initial participant, which has the first coupon, I will... The coupons then go out to that participant to get in contact with me. I'm unable, in regards to ethics reasons, to actually contact them directly. So they need to contact me, and my phone number is actually on the back of that card, and also email address as well. So from that point, I will then give them a call or email to make a mutually suitable time and place to meet up for the interview. Now, the interview will actually be on an iPad or on a computer. So it doesn't actually require them to give me any information that might be confidential or private to them. So the only time that I will know stuff is when they actually tell me that information. And anything that they do say will be treated with complete confidence and privacy. Then from that point, the interview process takes about 45 minutes to 55 minutes. And then at the end of that, I will ask them for their consent for me to be able to contact them in about 2 weeks to see how they've gone with giving out the three coupons. If I don't hear back from any of their respondents with those coupons. And then the whole process just goes over and over again. So ideally, we want to get about six waves deep. So starting at the initial person, the seed, and then five waves coming from those. But if we get longer ones, that'll be awesome, because the information from the top will be completely different to what we get at the bottom or at the end of that chain.
And Nathan, you've mentioned the word coupon quite a few times. I'm assuming that the coupon is basically just an introduction card which has some basics of information and your contact details on it.
That's correct. Yeah, so that's just to outline eligibility criteria for the study. So mm-hmm. they need to be over 18, have had sex with another man within the last 12 months, and also live in Melbourne. My contact details, email and phone number, and also a little place that they can put the meeting details for them and myself mm-hmm. to actually meet at that place.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thanks.
But then I will also send out a meeting request as well, if I've got the email address, so that it's also linked into their Outlook or Gmail account.
And I would like to add here that this is the encouragement for all men who receive the coupons. If you've got a coupon, please come to the study, please contact the recruiter. We do wait for you and we do rely on your participation in the study and also referring your friends as well.
And come on, I don't think anyone needs any more incentive than the chance of winning a $4,000 travel voucher. Come on.
I should hope not, but... Yeah.
And for the greater good, of course,
that's
as well.
That's right. All altruistic.
Exactly, exactly. Yes.
Our community, the if you like, the gay community or the community of men who have sex with men, is quite used to being recruited for research projects. There also always seems to be a new project coming out. What makes the key Connect study different? What's going to be the inducement for men to get involved in this particular study?
Yes, of course, we have done a lot of research and there are a lot of studies currently ongoing. This one is quite different in a way how it is conducted, a very innovative methodology. It also has a very specific focus that social norms about different practices. And we do not really collect that information from within any other study that we are doing. So it will be really, really helpful to understand norms better. And then provide that information back to the community to better organize risk reduction. This study does depend on men participating in the study and willing to provide information for the better of the community. So we do really encourage everyone to engage in the study and let us learn this new information and provide it back to the men in the community.
And I know that someone who works in the field of HIV health promotion, all of this information proves extremely useful to the work that that Tex and I do. So it'll be very interesting to see what comes out of it.
Nathan, I guess I'll ask you, how many men do you expect that you will be interviewing in Melbourne? And then, Irina, how many men in total? Because this is not just a study being conducted in Melbourne, it's also being conducted in other cities in Australia. So, Nathan, how many men do you think you'll be interviewing here in Melbourne?
Ideally, on the based on the methodology, 640 for Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in general, the study is recruiting already in three cities, in Sydney, Melbourne, and Perth. And, of course, the size of gay communities differ in these three cities. The largest sample we plan to recruit in Sydney will be somewhere close to 900 men. And as Nathan mentioned, we plan to recruit 640 in Melbourne and 435 people in Perth. Relative to other studies, this sample compares about the same as we get in periodic surveys, or maybe even less than that. This sample will enable us to conduct quantitative analysis and analyze the new information about social norms. We do hope that we recruit these samples, and we have about a year and a half to recruit these samples.
Now, are there any incentives for people to participate?
There actually is a very interesting incentive. We will encourage men to recruit their friends into long chains of referrals, and the largest, at the end of the study, the longest chain will participate in a lottery with the prize, quite substantial prize of about $4,000 in a travel voucher.
Wow.
there will be also two smaller prizes for the second and third largest chains. So we do encourage men to participate and also refer their friends. The longer the chain,
the
higher the probability of the chain getting participating in the lottery and getting the prize. And it's a good probability of getting the prize given the sample size.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely better chances than winning the Tats Lotto, that's for sure. Mm.
And that's a probability also for a group of very small, some small group to even use the travel voucher to go together on the trip.
Indeed. Now, Irina, the survey is up and running, so people are being interviewed in all three cities at this moment. When is the end date? When do you expect that the survey or this particular project will end, as in the end of the interviews?
We hope that we will finish recruitment by the end of June 2012.
Fantastic. Well, once again, the web address for the study is connectstudy.net.
Yeah, that's correct.
So we'll be sure to repeat that again at the end of the show. But once again, thank you both for coming and joining us this afternoon on Well. And all the best.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Thanks for having us. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Once again, that was Nathan Neeson and Dr. Irina Zablotska from the National Center on HIV Epidemiology and Clinical Research talking about their new study called the CONNECT Study, which will be looking at social norms within men who have sex with men in Melbourne, Sydney and Perth. The website, once again, is connectstudy.net.
The Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre is currently looking for volunteers. All sorts of organisations look for volunteers, including here on Joy 94.9. But the Victorian AIDS Council is looking for volunteers at the moment to help with day-to-day work of the organisation.
Are there any particular roles that they're looking
for? Well, it's funny enough, Jason, there are currently vacancies available, including in the Health Promotion Program, in the Outreach Program and Peer Education, and we'll be hearing a bit more about the Outreach Program in the coming weeks, in the reception areas, administration, social support, and a really important one all the time is daytime drivers, people with daytime availability who can drive people to and from appointments. Mm. You can attend a volunteer information session, and if you'd like to find out more or perhaps to register, you can check out our website, the Victorian AIDS Council website. Probably easier just to go to a search engine and type in Victorian AIDS Council, although the website is VicAIDS, VicAIDS, vicaids.asn.au, or you can call our volunteer coordinator, Shane Kelly, on 9865 6700. That's Shane Kelly, 9865 6700.
This is a little bit more about the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, but this weekend is a bit of a big weekend for them.
Oh, this is exciting news.
As the next edition of Short and Girly hits the National Theatre in St Kilda this Saturday at 7:30.
That's right.
Now, I believe you'll be there.
I'll be there. I'll be selling programs and...
So not on stage.
Red ribbons. No, I won't be on stage. Not this time. It's Short and Girly, and though... people have said some dreadful things about me over the years. Biologically a woman, I'm not. But this night features the cream of Australian female comics, including the one and only Rachel Berger, the very funny Denise Scott, Andrea Powell, who's also known as Ethel Chop, Kel Wilson, Fiona O'Loughlin. In fact, there's an interview with Kel Wilson in this week's MCV all about Short and Girly. So,
And for those Eurovision fans, Julia, who hosted the last Eurovision on SBS,
yep.
She will be the compere for the evening.
Fantastic. That's this Saturday night. The 12th of February, National Theatre in St Kilda, starts at 7:30 p.m. It's Short and Girly, and if you'd like more information or to get tickets, you can get your tickets from Ticketek, or you can check out myspace.com/shortandgirly. Well, actually, it's not slash, is it? Isn't it
slash.
A bleak stroke?
No, it's slash.
Oh, anyway, myspace.com/shortandgirly, or one word.
One word.
Word.
In our one world.
That's right.
But, of course, there are quite a few support services coming out of PLWHA Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their groups, Phoenix, is going to be happening later this month, starting February 18th, 19th, and 20th. And it's a group for men who have been recently diagnosed HIV positive. So someone who's been diagnosed in the past
2 years or so.
Yeah, it's about the last 2 years or so.
So it's an opportunity to learn strategies for managing and making sense of HIV, explore issues around disclosure, negotiating sex and relationships, and how to maintain your overall health. To book or for more information, you can call Vic on 9865-6772, 9865-6772.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, Jason, don't tell me it's that time again.
It is that
time. You gave
time
me
indeed.
That look.
That look.
You gave me that look. Coming up next, of course, is Theme Party, and it's with Katie, Nat, and Daniel. And tonight's theme is help. And it's all about all those wonderful people helping others in need, and where there's been a lot of trouble happening lately.
Excellent. Anyone you'd like to say hello to?
I'd love to say hello to Glenda, the cat, who messaged in, to Jill and to Paul, who sent in messages. I'd love to say hello to my partner, Harry, getting over his sore foot, and to Warren and Deb. That's about all I've got to say, though, Jason.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week from 8 to 9pm on Thursday. Have a great night.
Cheers, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.